Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Another Bible study, Wednesday night.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A chance to study that, to show thyself approved unto God.
Amen.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
2 Timothy, 2 chapter, 15 verse. We used to say that after every Sunday school at the Lord's Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's how I know that. Amen. It's good that, you know, praise God for the time where you were put in position to memorize Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good, right? Because sometimes you just need to remember that word at a particular time in your life. Or, you know, if you're going through something during the day. And even if you can't remember it word for word, it's good to know that God said something.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's true.
You know what I mean? Some people can remember word for word, verse for verse, and on and on. But others, you may just know God said this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not know exactly the word, but you know the message, the substance of it. And so either way, it's good. Amen. And so we praise God for coming to the Bible study tonight. We're in Mark chapter 10. We're going to pick up with the rich young ruler. That's where we left off the last time. And then we're going to go on from there. But we praise God. Amen. I feel my energy coming now. Amen. Glory to God. This is a long day. This is a long day today. And we were working in this place today. But praise be unto God. People walk out of here blessed. Amen?
Amen.
And now it's time for us to be blessed by the Word of God. Let's pray over it, Mark chapter 10, and then we'll get right into it. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we bless you today, and we thank you, God. You're a good God, and you're worthy of the praise, and we just lift you up, and we thank you for your goodness to us, O Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we come here today, right here, right now, O God, that we may hear your voice. That is our prayer. We pray that you will reveal yourself unto us through the Scriptures tonight.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into all truth. And we bless you now that the truth truly shall make us free.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we thank you now for the blessing of your word, the reading of it, the sharing of it, the speaking of it. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, we're in Mark chapter 10. And we were talking about the rich young ruler, and we read the passage, right, when the rich young ruler came running up to Jesus, and this is Mark 10 and 17. And he came running unto Jesus and said unto him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that's God." He then told him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother."
Mm-hmm.
And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing you lack. Go thy way, whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And so we left off last time saying, we understand the story is of a rich young ruler. We're told that your Bible may even say that as a heading over this particular passage, the rich young ruler. And we said, well, from verse 22 here, we know that he had great possessions, and so therefore we know that he's rich. And Jesus, after this, in verse 23, said that those who are rich, it's hard for them to enter into heaven. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But from verse 22, we know that this man is rich. But the question that we had last time, and that Sister Fennell was kind enough to put in our bulletin on Sunday, just in case we forgot.
Yeah.
The question is, how do we know that he's young, and how do we know he's a ruler? Brother James.
I know the same passage over in, let's say, Luke 18, where it states that he is a ruler.
Right.
Yeah.
18:18.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same telling, but, you know.
Yes.
I just want to say, you know, it says he was rich. I don't want to say he's a young ruler.
Say he's a ruler. Now, how we know he's young?
Well, my thought was that.
Uh-oh, she's thinking.
Yeah, I was looking at the scripture, and well, Matthew says he's young. He says a young man, Matthew.
There you go.
Right.
So that's it.
But I had another thought, but that's fine. But that's fine.
Okay, you can have the thought, but
that's the word.
But the word says it.
Yes.
Right.
Right? The word says it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Matthew 19 and 20 says he was a young man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Luke 18 and 18 says he was a ruler.
Different accounts, yeah.
And here in Mark chapter 10, it says he has great possessions. The reason why I asked that question, because it just, again, we say this often, right, that when you see in the Bible, in the Gospels especially, different Gospel writers, you know, write on the same account, it's always good to read all of them. So if you see it in two of them, read both. If you see it in three, read all three, because you'll get something from one of them that's not in the other. And it's not an inconsistency. Some people say, oh, that means the Bible is inconsistent. That's not inconsistent any more than, you know, we're here, someone walks in and does something, and someone says, describe him. I'm going to describe his height. You may describe his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You may describe his haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else might have saw that he had a scar on his hand. Mm-hmm. But each one of us, it's not, we're inconsistent. We're each complimenting the eyewitness account.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And it's the same thing here. So it's good then, in some ways you should look at it and go, okay, if it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or if it's in Mark, Luke, and John, whatever the case may be, those are three different eyewitness accounts, or three different accounts. Let me read each one, because I know someone is going to focus on something that the other one didn't, you know, and I'll get the whole flavor of what happened, right? And so it's just a good thing to get into the habit of doing. And you know, some of the Bibles that you have, especially a study Bible, if you look in the back, sometimes they'll have a chart of some of the parables that Jesus told and other accounts, and they'll have listed in which gospel it appears. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can just check real quickly and see. Mm-hmm. Or you have a study Bible, and if you look in the margins, right, it'll tell you that it's in those other gospels. So it's just always good to do that to get a little bit more from it. Now, let's get back to this, though. The rich young ruler first comes up to Jesus and says, "Good master." And Jesus immediately says to him, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, He said, that's God." Mm-hmm. Let's deal with what Jesus said first. Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good?" Because he understood that at this time he had a whole bunch of opposition, right? The leaders were always trying to trick Jesus. They were always trying to trap him. And, you know, they were always trying to do things that would allow them to accuse him of something. And so this young man comes up to him and says, "Good master." And he said, "You know what? A lot of you people don't even like me."
Yeah.
"You don't even want me around. And yet you're calling me good." He said, "But here's the thing. See, and when he said, 'Why do you call me good?' he really was revealing the man's hypocrisy."
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said, "Because, see, I really am good because I'm the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
I and my Father are one. You guys don't receive me that way."
Mm-hmm.
Right? "And so since you don't receive me as being one with God, there's really no reason for you to call me good."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
"But you're calling me good." He said, "Why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God."
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus is also saying, "But if you really knew what time it was,
mm-hmm.
you got it right. I am good."
Mm-hmm.
"And the reason why I'm good is because I'm God."
Yes.
"But you guys aren't acknowledging me that." So he's kind of calling him out. "Why are you calling me good?"
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. to force him to deal with that question. But what about this, though? Jesus says, there's none good but one, and that is God. So let me ask you a question. How do we explain all the good people who are walking around? There's a whole lot of people who say, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. She's a good person. He's a good person. If it's only, if Jesus says there's none good but one, how do we explain all these good people that are walking around? Let me ask you, Jay, are you a good person?
I do good deeds.
He said, I was until you just asked me that question. Right? But I mean, how many people really think of themselves as a bad person? Right? I mean, you look at it and say, hey, I'm a good person. And a lot of people say, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Right? I'm a good person. Look, I do believe there are good people. And you say, well, Jesus says only one good. Yeah, yeah. But see, here's the thing. I think there are people who exhibit good characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what comes down to it. But the bottom line is this. All goodness comes from God because God is good.
Yes.
And I believe that when you and I exhibit good characteristics, what we're doing is reflecting the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Think about it. When you're generous, you're really just reflecting the heart of God.
Yes.
Because God's a giver. When you are merciful or you forgive someone because they did something to you, you're just reflecting the goodness of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we do something good, we're reflecting the goodness of God.
Yes.
That's why we can't take credit for it.
Yeah.
Really. You see what I mean? Because all we're doing is being a reflection of the goodness of God.
Yes.
I believe even like when we have good food. How many people like good food?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We made some ribs a couple, what was it, last week? We put some ribs on the smoker.
Oh, no.
Pastor Hackett would say, that's some good eating. But it was good. But even good food and a good meal is really reflective of a good God who provides that food.
Exactly.
And provides all the things that we need in order to make it, whether it's the spices or even just the ability to make it.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is a reflection of the goodness of God.
Yes, it is.
That's why I believe this. And again, I was talking about the Lord's Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Pastor Lane was our pastor at the time. And I told this story before, but it's worth repeating. I remember Pastor Lane and we were doing something, and he had a piece of lint. I'll never forget this. A piece of lint on his shoulder. And I said to him, oh, wait a minute, Pastor, you got some lint on your shoulder. And I took it off. And he goes, well, praise God. And I remember thinking, I just took off some lint. That's what I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, praise God. I just took off, you know, because now he's thinking, well, good, it's off me now, you know what I mean? He's like, praise God. And I'm thinking to myself, I was young in the faith at the time, I'm thinking to myself, I just took off a piece of lint. And I started to realize that Pastor Lane walked around praising God for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened. How are you doing today? Hey, Pastor, good to see you. Well, praise God. I watched the game last night. And I go, well, praise God. And I started to realize he praised God for everything. He said, praise the Lord for everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but see, here's the thing. We were up under his teaching, and so after a while, I said, you know what? I'm doing the same thing he did. So I started saying, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. And so and we all have gotten to the habit. My wife got to the habit. Our kids got to the habit. So now if someone complimented you on something, no, we said, praise the Lord. That's a nice suit, brother. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, before I go, I know. Maybe like J.J. Evans. Remember how he used to do that? Right? Right? But then we grew up in the Lord and realized that somebody complimented you and said that was a good, you know, hey, it's reflective, praise God.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody makes a good meal around our house, go, this is some good food. Whoever made the food, we go, well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
You know what I mean? In other words, we give God praise. Now, I wish I would do it for everything. I can't say I'm not going to send them in, well, everything. No, I don't. And because if we walked around praising God for everything in our life for which he deserves praise, we wouldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the list is endless.
Exactly.
The list is endless. Mm-hmm. But it's a good habit to get into, though.
Yeah.
right? You know what I mean? It's a good habit to get into. Mm. And sometimes even you can not have to wait for somebody to say something. You get in your car and you start it up. Praise the Lord.
Exactly.
Especially when it's cold outside. Praise the Lord.
Exactly.
You put on your air conditioner on a hot day. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's a good habit to get into.
Yes, it
to
is.
To give God praise for the small thing. Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you into you praise Him. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to be so built up and so used to praising God and for big things. And then when the big things come, see, because we don't want to be like that. That the only time we give God glory and praise is when the big thing comes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the last time you had a big thing? Exactly. See, big things don't come every day.
Exactly.
But there's a whole lot of goodness in every day that's found in some of the smaller things in life.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to be appreciative of those smaller things.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah, so your car starts up, praise the Lord. Right? You turn on your lights, praise the Lord. You go home, you got a light bill from PSE&G, praise the Lord. It means you got lights. They don't send light bill and people don't got no lights.
Exactly.
At least you had lights.
Huh?
At least you had
lights. Yeah.
May not have them anymore.
But it's good to praise the Lord, isn't it? Amen.
Yeah.
And so he was praising God, but Jesus kind of said to him, listen, why are you calling me good? But how many of you know God is good? Amen.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Now let's look at this, because Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. He says, why are you calling me good? And he says, there's none good but one. Now, this young man wanted to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, you know the commandments, right? Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't be a false witness, don't defraud anybody, honor your father and your mother. And the young man says, I've observed these, all these have I observed from my youth. What do we think about that statement? Jesus runs through, right, six of the commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't kill, don't steal, right? Don't commit adultery. And on. And the young man says, like Jasmine used to say, Jasmine is funny. When Jasmine was small, we used to tell Jasmine things. And see, now we know. We thought she was like kind of, oh, this kid. You know, but now, as smart as she is, I think she was telling us something. But she was small. She was really small. And we would tell her things, and her favorite phrase was, I know that already. She was, you know, 2, 3 years old, 4 years old. Hey, Jazz, you got to do this. I know that already.
All the time.
All the time. She knew that already. And when I read this, I was reminded of Jazz. But he said, look what he said. He said, all these have I observed from my youth. So Jesus said, you got to do this, 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 and this. He said, know what he said? I do that already. Right? That's what he was saying. What do we think of that? With his response to Jesus saying, this is what you must do to inherit eternal life. And he says, I do that already.
Almost like kind of nonchalant. You know, y'all you know, say, like, yeah, I already know that.
Tell me something else.
Yeah, exactly.
I got that.
Yeah, he already passed that test. Now I know how can I inherit the kingdom? I already did everything else.
Yeah, I do that already, right? And I take it too that it's almost like there's a little bit of arrogance in it.
Yes.
A little bit of arrogance, a little bit of pride.
Yes.
You know, someone comes to you for advice and you say, well, I think you should do this, and they go, I know that already.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, you almost feel like someone then go on then.
Exactly.
You know, have some grace about yourself. But he goes, I do that already. Now, watch this, though. Okay, so this is how he sort of comes off, right? Wait, what did you say, James? What was the word you used?
I said nonchalant.
Nonchalant. A little nonchalant. Maybe a little arrogant. Maybe a little prideful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it wasn't entirely coming from a good place,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So this is what he says. Now, let's look how Jesus responds to him. Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him.
Yes.
And before we even go further, let's just stop and deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has someone maybe gotten a little flippant with you, a little smart with you, gave you a little talk back, had a little bit of attitude with you, and when you looked at them, you looked at him and behold them and loved them?
I know I haven't. You said that? No, I know I have not. Yeah, someone said that. I'm like, yeah, we'll bump you. Why you ask me, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that something, though? Sometimes we're very quick, though, right? Yeah. A lot of times we're very quick to respond to nastiness with our own nastiness.
Exactly.
Why is that? Why do we do... We're Christians.
Yeah, but sometimes they hit a nerve.
You'd
be like,
they hit that nerve. That's where we get that from. You know, my last nerve.
Yeah, it's stubbing your toe.
But they just won't let you, you know. Yeah. You try to walk away, they're right behind.
And we know that's not right.
Yeah.
Is that a fleshly thing? Do we get in our flesh when that happens? Do we allow our flesh to have its way instead of our spirit?
Yep.
Now, doesn't it feel good that I do believe this, that there have been times in your life and in my life where we have responded like you. In other words, someone did sort of do these type of things, were harsh to us, mean to us, whatever, and we responded with grace.
Yep.
We didn't get caught up in the flesh, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, we need to do that more often. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Amen. We need to do that more often. Those should be like some, you know, it should be like the eclipse.
Yeah.
But they can say, you haven't done that since, you know, 2010. Right? We need to do it more often.
Yes, yes.
But when we do that, you have to know you're exhibiting the heart of God.
Yes. Yeah.
But when we don't, we have to understand we're exhibiting the heart of the devil. Because there's no in between.
Right.
There's only good and evil. There's nothing in between.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's good or evil. Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees, right? They were talking about fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Our father's Abraham. Jesus, no, your father's the devil.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he didn't say you, right?
Yeah.
Because he's either the child of God or you're the child of the devil.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's it.
So Jesus looked at this man, though, and even though the man might have been a little flippant, the man might have been a little cavalier, nonchalant, maybe a little disrespectful, Jesus looked at him and loved him. So he looked at him with eyes of love, despite how that man responded. Amen? And may we do that more often. Amen?
Yeah.
That we look at people with eyes of love, no matter how they respond to us.
Mm-hmm.
See, because when we do that, we are taking after the example of our Lord and Savior, amen?
Yeah.
So next time someone does something to you, you know, amen? Even now, pray for it, though, because it's coming. It may happen before you leave this place.
That's week food distribution.
It may happen the minute you get home. It may happen the minute you get on the job tomorrow. It may happen when you go into the store, when you go to pick up something. Someone may say something, look at you, do something that you don't like, that maybe was just plain wrong, and you're going to have an opportunity to look at them the way Jesus looked at somebody who does some stuff that's a little bit crooked. Jesus looked at them and loved them.
Wow.
Amen? That's our example. And then he said to him, he said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is the Word of God, right?
Yes.
And in the beginning was the Word was with God, right? Jesus is the Word of God. And that Word of God, the writer of Hebrews tells us, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it pierces, the body and son of the soul and spirit. In other words, it gets down to the heart of the matter. Jesus cuts through all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm cutting this conversation short. You want to know? Yeah, you're telling me all the things you've done for me. I love you, bro. But let's just cut this conversation short and get to the heart of the matter. Go sell your stuff and come follow me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't got to do a whole lot of talking. I don't need you to do a whole lot of bragging. I don't need to see your Instagram account. I don't need to see your resume. I don't need to see none of that. You know what? Go sell yourself. Come follow me. Come on. He just cut up right to the heart of the matter. You know why? Because he knew something about this young man. And this young man had some pride in what he possessed.
Yes.
He knew that. And he said, here's the thing you lack. He said, you ain't no messed up person. He said, one thing.
Uh-huh.
There's one thing you lack. You're too attached to your stuff. How many of us could Jesus say that to today? You're too attached to your stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're too attached to your stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. There's a reason why the malls are crowded every week. I would love to go to the mall on a Saturday. I don't hardly go to the mall, so I'm just saying. But there's been times I've gone. Can you imagine going to a mall on a Saturday and it's empty? Now, I'm not talking about the girls at the mall. That's different. Folks who live out here know what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's inexplicable. I'm talking about otherwise, right? You go to a mall. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we buy a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. In this country, we consume a lot.
Yeah.
We're buying. And so sometimes we have to check ourselves and wonder, are we too attached to things? Sometimes we can be, what else can we be attached to? Certainly possessions. What else could have our heart?
People.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one, right? Jewelry. That's possessions. Mm-hmm. Right?
Money.
I've been doing things like on the internet or TV.
So it's about recreation?
Uh-huh.
And recreation is good, but I mean, we have to be careful that it doesn't have us. Jesus doesn't mind us having things. The problem is don't let the things have you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Where you that thing has such a hold on you, such a pull on you, that if you don't get it, your day is messed up.
Mm-hmm. Something's messed up. Don't they say, do it in moderation?
Yes. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know... It's like, and I'm not saying this because I just heard this years ago. Someone used to say, this one man said, he said, I like vanilla ice cream. He said, but I don't want it all the time.
Yeah,
sure.
You can like something, but
no, I don't want to have it. Yeah. See, I said that to sister, because sister don't love vanilla ice cream. She loves vanilla ice cream. You know what I mean? But his whole point was, even something I like, right, sometimes I need a break from it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In other words, somebody might like meatballs and spaghetti, but I bet you can't feed them that every night. They probably say, hey. Yeah, what's going on? To your point, right? There needs to be some moderation. So I think, though, that there needs to be some moderation with our spending, with our recreation. You know what I mean? Jesus wants us to have a balanced life. God wants us to have a balanced life.
Yes.
And he knew this man's life was out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
He was too focused on his possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And he got right to the heart of the matter. And the man went away. The man was sad at that saying.
Mm-hmm.
Again, showing that Jesus is absolutely right. That man said, what? I came here thinking, what I got to do? And he felt good about himself. What, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you must obey the commandment. I do that already. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, okay, how about this? Sell yourself and come with me. All of a sudden, the air went out that man's balloon.
Because mm-hmm.
Jesus got to the heart of the matter and revealed. And how many of you know that's what this word will do to you if you put yourself in front of it?
Yeah.
This word will reveal us to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know we think we're, you know, certain things we don't do, I don't do. You ever think you'd be convinced that you don't do something and then you read something in the word and God tells you that's exactly what you do? Ooh. And the man went away sad. But watch this. Here's what's interesting. The man goes away sad because he has great possessions. And Jesus remarks in verse 23, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? In other words, he's saying, for those who are rich, it's going to be hard for them to enter into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? Why is it hard for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God?
Because they don't think they need anything.
Mm. And especially they don't think they need
money. Jesus.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, because they got their money, right? And so they think that they have all they need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And so when you have a lot, you tend to think that you don't need to be dependent on an invisible God.
Mm-hmm.
I got my visible money, I got my visible house, my job, my this, my that. And so you may get to the point of thinking you're good.
Yeah. But you can lose all that
debt
in an instant.
In an instant. And it happens every day of the week.
Yeah. Well, look at the hurricane.
Hurricane.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that?
The hurricane.
Hurricane, yes, of course.
Puerto Rico.
And there are people who are losing their homes. just like that.
Mm-hmm. They lost everything.
So the thing is that when you're rich, doesn't mean that if you're rich you can't be saved. So we're not saying that.
Right.
But it's about a mindset and a heart condition. Mm-hmm. Where's your heart? Do you believe you're good and you don't need God? Or do you realize that I don't care what I have, I still need the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's where we need to be, right? You can be the richest person on this earth. You still need God.
Yeah.
Amen. And so he says, you know, it's hard because of this sort of being self-sufficient. I'm good. I don't need anything else. Now, look how the disciples responded to this in verse 24. They were astonished when Jesus said this. They said, what? Because they're thinking that if you have a lot of money, you're blessed. Mm-hmm. If you have a lot of money, of course you're in the kingdom of God. Because if you have a lot of money, your riches are a sign that God has blessed you and is favoring you. Mm-hmm. So for the disciples, this is the thinking at the time. This is the thinking at the time. This is the thinking today. There's a lot of people who think like that today. And then they think like that in terms of money. They think about that in terms of the size of your ministry. Yeah. They think about that in terms of whether you're sick or in health. They look at your circumstances. How can we be at that place in 2017?
Jesus.
To think that someone's outward circumstances somehow reflects whether or not God's favor is on their life or not. You mean to tell me every poor person is somehow not being favored? God is frowning down on them? You trying to tell me that every person who has riches, worldly riches, that somehow that's the favor of God on them? Come on. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
But it's amazing how many times people do that in the church. Yeah. Something happened to somebody, and they go, oh, he must not be living right. Mm. Who among us is living right? Get right down to it. First of all, what does living right mean? Let's break that down for a second. He's not living right. He's not living right. What does that mean?
Some people want you to live the way they live. Oh,
that's it. We're done. Now what's your hands? We going home on that one. No question.
Yeah.
No question. And the way you live, if it doesn't line up with the way they think you should live, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, people, we got to be more humble and more genuine and more reflective about God than do stuff like that. And here's the amazing thing. So, but the disciples are walking with Jesus, and this is more reflective of the time that they were living in. So they had a little bit more of an excuse than we have. Mm-hmm. We should know better. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As we should know better. Like, God sends the rain on just and unjust, right? But here's the thing, and I'll see you in a second. But the idea that your circumstances will always is somehow just the equivalent of how the favor of God is on you, and all, come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. Come on. There are a lot of people who are struggling, and look in the Bible. Joseph was in prison. Mm-hmm. We saw it on Sunday. And God was with him. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But he was in prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah was thrown in a cistern.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was doing what God wanted him to do.
Exactly.
Jesus went to the cross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he was doing what... Come on, somebody. Yeah. So you can't just look at someone's circumstances and think that somehow God is punishing them.
Yeah.
Or they're getting some kind of judgment from God. That's too simplistic. Yeah. And it's just plain wrong.
Yeah, you know, what we're talking about is just the same thing like when the disciples seen the blind man. They say, Lord, what sin did he done or what sin did his parents
did? Yeah, who sinned? Who hit his
parents? Yeah, yeah.
And he was born blind.
And he's born blind. Who? Which one did it?
Yeah, which one did it?
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, brother. And you don't have to turn there, but if you want, you can write it down. This is something, as you're saying, that reminded me of something. In in Luke 13, in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things?" What's he saying? He said, "You think they sinned more than the other Galileans because this happened to them?" He said, "I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And then he says this, "For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay." See, what he's saying is, a tower apparently fell on 18 people and killed them. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "Do you think that that happened to them because they were more sinful than those who it didn't fall on?"
Right.
He said, "I tell you not." Mm-hmm. So come on then. Just because you may be in a bad situation, don't let anybody try to tell you somehow that's the judgment of God on your life.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, it could be, mm-hmm. but it doesn't automatically mean that it is.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm not trying to say it never could be.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. God is a God of judgment. But mm-hmm. but just because bad circumstances befall godly people.
Yes.
That's true.
Amen.
It's just another, and I talk about this all the time, right? We know it firsthand. Godly people die in accidents. Mm-hmm. Godly people are in the Twin Towers.
Yes.
So you think something what
I think God had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It just happened.
Right? I mean, there's some things that just, those are the circumstances. And we, it's so much of, well, how can it happen? Listen, there's some things that I know I can't explain. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that no man can explain as to why God does things. Mm-hmm. But let's not be overly simplistic and think just because some bad circumstances befell someone, that's God giving them some judgment.
Yeah.
And can we do this too on the good side and the bad side? And in different ways, let's not think about God doing things to people, including ourselves, because we deserve it. In other words, don't ever go to God saying, "Lord, I don't deserve this." Don't do that. And don't ever think that someone is getting what they deserve. Mm. Why? Because we all deserve hell.
Amen. Yeah,
that's true.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So it ain't about what we deserve. Don't talk to God in the language of what you deserve. Because if God gave you and me what we deserve, we be consumed.
Yeah.
That's right. God's a merciful God. Yeah. So we just thank God for his mercy.
Yeah.
Because mercy means he doesn't give us what we deserve.
Exactly.
Because we deserve punishment. We deserve damnation. We deserve condemnation. But God gives us the gift of salvation even though we don't deserve it. So let's get away from that deserve gospel. Amen. You and I don't deserve anything. Oh, but we get it though. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
That you get what you don't deserve?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Let's go back to Mark. So Jesus now starts to tell them about his death. This is the third time he tells them about his death, his coming death, that he's going to suffer and die. Verse 32. He tells them, he says, they're going up to Jerusalem, and they were amazed because he knew that, you know, they were going into hostile, they knew he was going into hostile territory. And they were afraid. And he took the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. He said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." This is the third time he told them in the Gospel of Mark. He told them in Mark chapter 8, verse 31 and following. He told them in Mark 9, verse 30 and following. And now he's telling them again. And here, he's giving you even more detail. And right after, and the third time, right, he told them, and right after that, James and John starts to come up to him and say, "We want to sit on your right hand. We want to sit with you and have positions of power. One of us want to be on your right hand, the other one want to be on your left." And didn't they do that the second time when he told them in Mark chapter 9?
Yep.
They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, they don't get it yet. Every time Jesus talks about, you know, I'm going to die soon, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and they start talking about who's going to be greatest, and now they want to get promotion. It's like, Jesus is like, y'all don't get it yet. You don't get it yet. Now look what he says. He says in verse 38, he says, you know not what you're asking. He said, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? The cup is his suffering. Amen. He said, and can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? His baptism is his death. He's saying, can you really go through this? And their response is, we can't. They said, yup. Well, I'm telling you, this is the second time we're seeing somebody being overconfident in the presence of Jesus, isn't it?
Exactly.
Can you imagine that? You being, they're overconfident in the presence of Jesus. Jesus saying, well, do this. I do that already. Can you drink of my cup? Can you do it? Yep. People all confident in the presence of Jesus. So, reminds me of somebody. Reminds me of me. Amen? And we all like that. We stand before the Lord. We think we're okay. We think we're good. We can do it. And Jesus said unto him, yeah, you are. He said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And then the other disciples, the other 10, heard it. They were mad. They were angry. And they probably were angry because James and John got to Jesus first. Because they were all talking about who was going to be greatest when we saw them in Mark chapter 9. It wasn't like they were some humble servants saying, look at these guys trying to get a position. They were like, man, he got there first. They were mad. And Jesus says to all of them, he gets them together, and he says, look, he says, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. So Jesus says this, and we saw this before in Mark chapter 9. He said, if you want to be great, if you want to be in a position of power, you have to serve other people. You got to serve people. Period. You serve them. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have. Doesn't matter how old you are.
Amen.
Yeah. Do you know? I mean, we got to serve other people. That's God's way of great, to show if you're a great person, you want to be great in the kingdom, serve people.
Yeah.
Do things for other people. That's greatness. Not people waiting on you hand and foot. Doesn't mean anything. That's why, you know, I don't want anybody waiting on me. But I'll wait on a whole bunch of people. I don't want anybody waiting on me, but I will wait on people. Now, if somebody's going to wait on me, I'm not going to make them miss their blessing. This is a blessing in service, right? I ain't going to take their blessing from them. But you understand what I'm saying? The heart, though, should be more for doing for others before you're looking for them to do anything for you.
Amen.
And that's the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave. And he didn't have to. And we're going to end here. I want to look at this last verse. And we're going to be challenged here. Verse 45. Jesus says, but even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So Jesus said, I didn't come here to be served. I came to serve. That's what Jesus said. So what should we say?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we should say thank you, Lord, right? And then we should say the same thing.
Yes,
I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve.
Yeah. Amen.
But you're the boss. You still serve.
Amen.
And then look what he says. And to give his life a ransom for many. What's a ransom?
A ransom is a payment for something or someone that's being held hostage.
Yeah.
A payment.
It's a payment.
Uh-huh.
Right. It's a payment. And it's a payment, you said, for someone who's being held hostage, right?
Uh-huh. Like
kidnapped. Like kidnapped, right? Because somebody pays a ransom, right? And so you're held hostage or you're held captive.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And a ransom is to do what? For you to be delivered and do and what? Set free.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, I came here to give my life a ransom for many.
Yeah.
In other words, he said, I came here to pay the price so that those who are in captivity
can be
delivered.
Amen.
I have friends, African American friends. Some of my best friends are African American. I just felt like saying that. Some of my best friends are African Americans. Well, why do folks say that? Some of my best friends. Anyway, some of my best friends. But I have some friends who are African American who have said to me in the past, even have family members, I could never have been born back in slave time. David just had to kill me.
But
no,
I'm
digging
killed.
No, I know. No, but yeah, that's right. But I'm talking about there are people today who look at it and go, I could never live back then. I could never, you think about them being a slave. You ain't put no chain on my neck. You just gonna have to kill me. Okay. Let me tell you something. You don't have to. There's no, I don't care what color you are. You can be African American, you can be white, you can be Hispanic, you can be Asian, I don't care. But if you look back at slavery time and you look and go and you puff out to your chest and say, there's no way I could live at that time, man. That slavery thing is a good thing that God didn't let me be born back then because I would have, because I was born back then. Okay, all right. Let's just get to the heart of the matter, okay? You don't have to wonder and pretend and imagine how you would have been if you would have been born in slavery back then. Because let me tell you something that you may not really understand. You were born in slavery.
Amen.
Your ancestors. No. You were born in slavery.
You.
Everybody in here was born in slavery. You know why? Because everybody in here was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, just like David said in Psalm 51.
Yes.
That's how we were. And so here's the thing. Every last one of us were born captive to sin.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is why the scripture says we were bought with a price.
Yeah.
So you don't have to imagine those slaves on the auction block with the chains around their neck and the fetters, and they would get sold to Mr. Jones. And Mr. Jones, he bought that slave so he could take that slave to his plantation and keep him a slave. And he would die a slave. But here's the thing. You and I, we all are on the auction block. And we have fetters around our neck and all these things because that's how we were born. And then we were on the auction block, and the devil was auctioning us off, and Jesus was in the crowd, and he said, I'll take him, and I'll take that one. And, but see, he didn't take us to keep us a slave. He took us to make us free. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. But don't you think for a moment that you weren't born a slave. Because Paul said, we are either a slave to righteousness or a slave to unrighteousness. So all my friends are about, I couldn't live back then if I could be born a slave. You were born a slave. You just may not know it. But if you knew you were born a slave and now you were made free, you need to lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Because now you are free.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen. Why? Because Jesus paid the ransom. Yeah. He paid the price for your freedom and for my freedom. And so we walk around here not because I got saved, but because I got bought. Amen. Jesus bought my freedom.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Amen. He bought our freedom.
Yes, he did.
Amen. So listen, I once was a slave. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell him, when I got saved, Brother Les, I was more than 12 years old, so I should make my own movies. He made a movie 12 years of slave. So I'm gonna be slave 45 years, 50 years. Yeah. Come on, somebody, you're a slave to sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then Jesus paid the price, and now you're free. Mm. And if that's your testimony, you should go to bed tonight just thanking the Lord.
Exactly.
Amen. For purchasing you. Amen. Praise God. We're going to stop here. We're going to pick up next time. We're going to finish up chapter 10 with Blind Bartimaeus. I love that story. We're going to pick up Blind Bartimaeus, and then we're going to chapter 11. Amen. Quick question. How many chapters of the book of Mark have? Praise the Lord. 16. Amen. We're closing in on it, brother. Amen. We're closing in. Thank you for closing in. That was good. Amen. But we do praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God that we're free. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me.
Amen.
Right? Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm free.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's pray tonight with your free self. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are free.
Yes.
That we are free
yes,
in Christ Jesus. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And we thank you that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And Father, that is our prayer, that we will glorify you, spirit, soul, and body, as a way of saying thank you for purchasing our freedom. Through the salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for what you've spoken unto us tonight.
Yes.
Father God, let us emulate Jesus in all ways, O God. Even when people are unkind unto us, O God, let us look upon them with love as Jesus looked upon the rich young ruler. And also, God, let us not be so quick to believe that because someone is facing a bad situation or some misfortune, that somehow that is reflective of their spiritual condition. It may or may not be, but Father God, we know that good things happen to bad people, and unfortunately, misfortune comes to the godly as well. But through it all, we look to you, O God, as the author and finisher of our faith, to continue to guide us in our walk with you and to help others do the same. And so, Father God, let us not be judgmental, but let us be compassionate, caring, and kind. And we give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. And lastly, God, we just pray that we will recognize that we have been bought with a price and that Jesus paid a ransom for us. And so we just want to show our gratitude through service to you, Lord God, and to other people. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And let us have the same heart, the same mentality. And Father, we just thank you for giving us the mind of Christ. And so, Father God, we thank you for the word that you spoke unto us tonight. As we go home, oh God, let the word continue to just dwell in our hearts, continue to speak truth to us, oh God, and bless us. And God, as we travel to our homes, just give us safe passage over the dark roadways. And we thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you shall do. We believe the best is yet to come. And so, by faith, we give you the praise and thanks for it in advance. In Jesus' great name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.